Blog Talk Radio.
You're now listening to
Hot Takes
with
Nolan and Eric.
Another edition of Hot Takes. I'm your host, Eric Nifong. Find me on Twitter at @E_Nifong, and I'm joined by Nolan Haig. You can find him on Twitter at NJH09. And we have another week of football down, and we're also getting closer to the MLB playoffs, and it's getting pretty exciting there. We have quite a bit to talk about tonight, so pretty good. How was your weekend?
It was pretty good. Tonight I got to see a battle between the Chiefs and the Saints in an amazing flag football game for the ages. So that was quite something.
Please explain.
My nephew played in flag football tonight and actually scored a few touchdowns, but unfortunately he was not the best player on the field. That was a little girl that I did not know, but she definitely tore it up. Nobody could stop her, just leaving everybody in the dust. The Saints, of course, ended up with a 2-point victory.
Of course.
Yeah.
All comes down. Wow. All right, well. That's pretty exciting. So, I have not caught any flag football games.
It's intense. Let me tell you, that 5-on-5 first graders.
I can imagine. So, but yeah. So we can I guess perfect transition to go to college football because that's the next step here, right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Well, we had some picks last week. We went ended up with 4 college football games. So I guess we could just start off there and talk a little college football week 3 in the books. First game I think we should talk about was a game that we obviously didn't see coming. I think a majority of the country didn't see coming. That is Florida State going to Louisville and Lamar Jackson putting himself out front with a huge lead in the Heisman race, and Louisville absolutely blew the doors off of the Seminoles, ended up winning that game 63-20. What did you see in that one?
It's definitely got to feel good for Louisville after the last 2 years, kind of getting out to lead on Florida State and then kind of giving them up later. So they kept the pedal down and yeah, like you said, blew the doors off of them. Lamar Jackson was unstoppable. Mostly on the ground near the end zone. But he's been amazing this year with 18 total touchdowns. Florida State just didn't look good on either side of the ball. Dalvin Cook couldn't get anything going. DeAndre Francois looked pretty bad. Louisville looked amazing.
Yeah, Louisville has, I think, one of the best pass rushes in the nation. And when they're able to pin their ears back and get a big lead on other teams and go after the quarterback, I think that's to their advantage. And I think we saw that. I think they sacked Francois 5 times in the game. Bad game for Florida State. I think Lamar Jackson, you mentioned his 18 touchdowns. Those 18 touchdowns are in basically 10 quarters. He's missed 2 fourth quarters this season, so just remarkable what he's been able to do. A lot of comparisons to Michael Vick, even some talk from Michael Vick from Twitter.
Even from Michael Vick, yeah.
Yeah, so It's something to see. You don't get these kind of players around too long, so hopefully he can keep it up this season, and we'll see where it goes from there. And maybe talk about some draft prospects with the kid. I think he needs to improve a little bit on his accuracy, but other than that, he has the tools to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, at least for a chance.
No, yeah, definitely going to have to see more in the passing game. But, yeah, there'll be plenty of opportunities for that, at least for the rest of the season.
Yeah, definitely. They play actually, I'm not sure who they play this week, but next week they go.
Yeah, in 2 weeks they do play Clemson, and then, yeah, and then later on they'll play Houston at some point, too. So, yeah, well, he'll definitely have some tests ahead of him.
Yeah, definitely. So, could very well be another big performance next week, and we could see a battle of two of the top quarterbacks in college football next week. But can't overlook who they're playing this week, whoever that may be.
Right. Even though we can't even remember who they are, Marshall, I think, is actually who it is.
Okay.
Isn't that right? Marshall? That sounds right to me, anyway.
Sure, yeah. We'll
I want to say that that's what I saw before Clemson.
Yes, it is.
But...
yes, it is Marshall.
It
I
is?
Marshall
cool.
Beat Louisville at Marshall the last four times. So, we'll have to see there.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Well, yeah, I guess you got anything else from that game?
No, not really.
I mean,
Florida actually,
State.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Do you think Florida State has a chance to get back in the playoff race?
Yeah, right. That's basically, yeah, I guess what I was going to kind of go with. I mean, oh, man. I don't know. If Louisville keeps winning, then they can't. But, I mean, if, yeah, assuming maybe, yeah, like Louisville loses to Clemson, you can't rule it out yet. I mean, teams that are losing early, it does – a lot of teams it might seem like the end for, like, one big loss or whatever. But, yeah, no, you can definitely come back from early in the season once everybody else just has to lose. You just have to wait for them. So – it's possible, but, I mean, they're definitely, you know, they don't control their own destiny at this point.
Yeah, I guess I can kind of see that. I just, I don't know, you look at it now and it's a 43-point loss, was even more than that. I just find it hard to be able to put a team in that lost by that much to another team, helping them at all. So we'll have to see, because it's
definitely a bad loss. I mean, it's on the road, and it is a top 10 team, but yeah, no, 43 points, it was the most Florida State's ever given up. That's, yeah, it is bad. But I mean,
yeah,
in, you know, 6-7 weeks, after a few more losses somewhere around, you know, whatever, maybe Louisville does lose to Marshall, then, you know, things can change, especially by the time playoff time, I guess, rolls around.
Yeah, I guess we'll just have to see. I think it looks really bad right now, and it's hard for me to see any possible way for that to happen, but we'll just have to see, I guess.
Yeah, no, but, I mean, Louisville's definitely would be an interesting playoff participant if they can, obviously, yeah, you'd have to beat Clemson and Houston, among, you know, the rest of their schedule, but yeah, that'd be, I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah, it'd be interesting, not a team that you would have had in there at the beginning of the year, and you have to think if they're in the Final Four, then Lamar Jackson has that Heisman wrapped up.
Yeah, and And yeah, and he's probably the most dangerous person in that tournament, a la Vince Young.
Yeah, very much. He's got some talent, and he's really improved this year. Last year, I was looking at his numbers. He had just under 55% completion percentage. He's up to just under 60% now. You'd like to see a little bit higher still, but he's definitely improving, and he's really got that team rolling, and they have some really good players. And also, Bobby Petrino, pretty good coach.
Yeah, no, yeah, that definitely didn't change. You might question his things he does outside of a football stadium, but no, yeah, definitely still has it. And yeah, good for him.
Yeah, like Brent Musburger says, when he stays off his motorcycle, he's a pretty good coach. So,
right.
Yeah. But let's move on here. Another game that was pretty much a blowout from the beginning, that was Ohio State visiting Oklahoma. Oklahoma now sitting at 1-2 on the season after losing 45-24. They just didn't have much for the Buckeyes, and the Buckeyes, a young team, but they look all the bit of a championship team. They look that part, don't they?
No, yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, obviously the you have questions when you lose a bunch of starters, but Ohio State's starting to get to that Alabama point where they're just reloading. It's next man up, and they seem to be just as good, if not better. yeah, Oklahoma never really had a chance. You thought maybe they'd had some life when they returned that kickoff. But yeah, no, it was pretty bad. Really sweet catch by Noah Brown, though, in the end zone there on old boy's back.
Yeah, that was a pretty good catch. I don't think a lot of people are making a big deal of it. I don't think it's the best catch of the year. I think we see that quite a bit more often than what it happens, but still.
I'm not so sure about that. I think that when it happens, it's made such a big deal that we just remember the specific times when it does happen very well. But I don't know. It's a ridiculous play. Like, I don't know. You're really not catching it with your hands. You're catching it with somebody else, and I don't know. It just makes it that much more difficult.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Okay,
yeah,
so you're just
going to
hate on the catch then?
No, I'm not hating on the catch. He caught it. Glad it was
there. Oh, wait. Was James Quick's catch better with his knees?
Yes, that was better.
I mean, he wasn't even really using it. I mean, he's trying to use his hands, but
yeah,
that was pretty fantastic. I could have swore that ball got picked off so many times.
Yeah, I thought it was picked off. But somehow, when you're good, you're good. Lamar Jackson somehow got it past him, and Quick caught it.
Almost got it through his receiver too.
Yards.
Yeah,
yeah,
no, and then
yeah.
He took off, but. All right, so yeah, basically Ohio State is, yeah, they're locked into number two now, so yeah, it's hard to see anybody knocking off Ohio State or Alabama at this point, but I guess we'll kind of talk about Alabama in a second.
Yeah, and now Oklahoma already 1-2 on the year.
Yeah, they're definitely done.
Yeah, a team that was favored to possibly return back to the Final Four, and also Baker Mayfield, one of the favorites to win the Heisman. Not looking so hot right now. Do you think it's time to let Bob Stoops go?
Yeah, no, I'm actually kind of surprised they hadn't at this point, or at least before last year. I don't know if they did something crazy like ran the table in the Big 12, then I guess, you know, they'd keep him. But I don't know. It's just, yeah, it just doesn't seem like he's getting it done against these national championship caliber programs anymore. So yeah, if you're Oklahoma and you want to get back to that, then yeah, you need to move on, because he's been there for way too long. The game may have just passed him up. But yeah, Baker Mayfield hasn't looked good against good defenses, or at least higher quality defenses. He's forcing a lot of throws, and that's forcing a lot of mistakes. So
yeah, that was his problem at Texas Tech. I always thought last year he really surprised me how well he played, but once he did play some of those top level defenses, he really kind of struggled, and that kind of took me back to his Texas Tech days when he started off really hot with Texas Tech through the first three or four games, and they kind of fell off whenever they started to get into Big 12 play, things like that. But Oklahoma's definitely done at this point, and we'll just have to see how their season finishes up here. I think things could unravel and they could finish about 7-5.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. I mean it. Yeah, no. I just don't think there's any way they're going through the Big 12 undefeated. So yeah, I'm thinking yeah, 3-4 losses at least. But yeah, it definitely. I mean, hard to say though if they're really committed to Bob Stoops. But I'd say yeah, that it's past time to move on.
I agree. All right, well, that brings us to number one team in the nation. Struggled for the third straight year with Ole Miss, but ended up winning this one, pulled out 48-43 victory. Looked like it was going to be over a little earlier than that, but Ole Miss fought back at the end, but Alabama held on. What'd you think of the game? Jalen Hurts didn't look so hot to me throwing the ball, but it was his legs that I thought was really the difference maker in the game. And Alabama just keeps winning.
No, yeah, I mean, nobody was particularly special, like, individually for Alabama. But yeah, I mean, as a team, they, yeah, managed to get it done. Yeah, really thought something was obviously up when Ole Miss was up 24-3 with less than 3 minutes to go. But, of course, Alabama comes back with a three-play touchdown drive, and then a three, or I guess, forced a punt real quick again, and then that gets ran back, so they're only down 7 at half. At that point, you kind of had a feeling Alabama's probably going to win. But, yeah, Chad Kelly actually played really well up until the second half, and then kind of helped dig that hole that they were almost able to get back out of. But I mean, yeah, it's been weird how Ole Miss has been able to give Bama fits recently, but Nick Saban finally got back on top.
Yeah, definitely. And I wanted to go back to that first half at the end when Ole Miss had the 24-3 lead. I thought Ole Miss got very conservative, and I hated their play calling. I think when you have someone down like that, you try to step on the throat and you try to end it. I thought they got really conservative, ran the ball. They looked like they just wanted to get to halftime, and Alabama made them pay and ended up going in only down 7. And yeah, you're right. At that point, you kind of just thought that Alabama was going to win this game somehow, and they did.
Yeah, no, yeah, you definitely can't do that, especially, yeah, I mean, it's hard to say, there's less than 3 minutes, but yeah, no, especially with a team like Alabama, it doesn't matter how big of a lead you have, yeah, you should want to kick them while they're down, definitely.
Yeah, and you supposedly have the best quarterback in the SEC, and you don't want to throw it with him on third down twice. And, I just thought that was kind of cowardly. It just gave me the weirdest feeling that they were just trying to get to the locker room like they were the ones down 24-3. And, just a weird feeling to me, that whole sequence and the last 3 minutes of the first half.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, I guess do you want to do upsets and then the NFL game or?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. What was yours?
We have the same one. Texas
A&M that's right.
at Auburn. We both picked Auburn, but their struggles kind of continue on the offensive end, and A&M ended up winning that one 29-16. And Trevor Knight continues to play pretty well for the Aggies.
They obviously had a little trouble in the red zone, ended up with 5 field goals, but it was definitely enough for them. Auburn didn't really seem to be moving the ball much except in the running game. But Texas A&M looked all right. They've looked pretty decent over these first 3 weeks. And Myles Garrett actually had 2 sacks in the game. So he's a guy you're definitely going to want to watch over the course of the season.
Yeah, so I got, I don't know.
All right. So, all right, then I guess we got the Packers and Vikings, which I guess did we both pick the Packers or did you pick the Vikings?
We both picked the Packers.
Okay, well, then we both missed that one, too. The Packers got down the field the opening drive. A couple penalties helped them out, but they scored a touchdown. Looked kind of easy on the opening drive, 1-yard touchdown to Jordy Nelson. And then their offense kind of went away. how did Sam Bradford look, did you think?
I thought he looked really well. I'm still not sold on the Packers secondary. I think HaHa Clinton Dix is a really good player, but other than that, I don't really like who they have. But Sam Bradford was able to come in about a week and a half of learning the offense and played really well, in my opinion. He I don't think he turned the ball over once. He found Stephon Diggs, which I thought was going to be huge, and I thought it was going to be something that happened because he really found a good connection with Jordan Matthews, kind of a bigger guy that can play slot and runs really good routes when he was with Philly. And I thought that's kind of what Diggs is with Minnesota, and he did find him. 9 catches, 186 yards, I believe, in that 1 TD. He had 2 beautiful passes for those TDs over the outstretched arms of the corners for the Packers. And, I think this Bradford move really puts the Packers or the Vikings in good position as long as AP can stay healthy. And it's all going to depend on how that meniscus is feeling.
Yeah, no, you're definitely going to worry about that. I mean, obviously, having him in that offense definitely helps. Sam Bradford definitely looked competent. If he can find their best receiver in Stephon Diggs, then he shouldn't have too much trouble putting up some points. A little surprising. Yeah, he was able to come in and look so stable this early on. But, do you really think that he could possibly take them on the playoff run that they want?
Well, I think he's always been a competent quarterback. Of course, the biggest thing with him is his health. But I think this is the game last night was the reason, or the game Sunday night was the reason general managers keep taking a chance on him. They just see something that's there, and when he's on the field, he can display it. And he did last night. He had a great second half of the season last year. And I think it's just going to have to continue here. And I think the Vikings have a good enough defense that Sam Bradford's a good enough quarterback to take them where they want to go.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely going to be something to watch. Crazy. Sam Bradford might actually have his day until he tears, something else. But, okay, well, I guess that's really all we got for picks. What do you want to talk about now?
Yeah, we both went 2-3 this week. 0-1 on our upsets because we picked all the same games. So you still have a three game lead over me, and we have 2 weeks left before we reset here. Which I guess that also brings us to next week. We're going to be doing a special show. We're going to have our Hall of Fame name game. We're not really sure how it's going to work yet, whether we're going to pick starting lineups for football or if we're going to have Hall of Fame inductees. We'll figure it out, but that's going to come next week. So pretty excited about that.
Yeah, should be interesting.
Yeah, most definitely. It's going to be great finding some really good names.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess since we're kind of in the NFL, I guess we can talk some NFL stuff. So correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Rex Ryan come out and say before they played the Jets that if they were to lose, he would be the first quote unquote explicit word to leave or to be gone or whatever. And then they went out and lost that game. Did that not happen?
Yeah, but Rex Ryan also says they're going to win the Super Bowl every year, so.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. So if you're going to go out there and say that you're going to put your job on the line and then that you lose, but then instead of just, you know, nobody's going to be fired, you actually go out and fire somebody, but it's the person who's probably the least responsible for what's your problems on the team.
Yeah, I mean, what, they scored 34 points in that game and gave up 40?
It was like 37-31 or something. Yeah, but still, like, it's, I don't know. How can you bring in Rob Ryan, your brother, to be defensive coordinator, who has pretty much been terrible at his last, what, three jobs, and then you're going to bring him in, and then, oh, no, it's the offense. That's the problem.
Yeah, I don't know. Score 34 points. You're supposed to be a defensive specialist. Same thing with your brother. Your defense is the one that lost you that game. Your defense has gotten worse and worse every year since you've been in Buffalo. Yeah, I don't know. I think this is the last ride for Rex Ryan, and I think he's going to be forced to have to go back as a defensive coordinator because I do think someone will offer him that. But I think this is his last ride as a head coach for right now.
Yeah. Do you think he gets fired during the season?
No, I think the Bills have a good enough team that they'll get 6 or 7 wins. And I don't think he'll get fired in the middle of the season. Maybe week 15, something like that, when they're completely out of the playoff race. But no, I don't think we'll be seeing it in like the next couple weeks or anything like that.
Okay. I don't know. I think it's crazy. Yeah, I think that, yeah, he's definitely out after this year if things keep going this way. But, yeah, a fire in your offensive coordinator just isn't good, isn't a good look, especially after all the talking that he likes to do. And losing to the Jets definitely isn't a very good look either. So, I don't think he's very much, he's much long for being, doesn't have much time left as a head coach. So.
Yeah, and Ryan Fitzpatrick had a career day against that defense. So, not good. Who did have a good game for the second week in a row, Carson Wentz last night. I'll be the first to say, I wasn't sold on him, but he's really got me pretty excited over after 2 weeks of football against two of the worst defenses and teams in the league. But, hey, you got to start somewhere. He's making NFL history already. And, he seems like a smart guy out there, not turning the ball over, really just making plays what comes to him and not trying to force anything. So I've really liked what I've seen from him so far. And this Eagles team, I think, actually has a chance to be pretty decent this year, a team that I thought was going to win 4 or 5 games. Completely different team than what I thought about a month before the season was going to start. And
no,
they're almost 6-0 now in 2016, so it's fun.
Oh, wow. Okay, anyway. like you said, Wentz has definitely defied expectations for a lot of people. Yeah, definitely wasn't, a extremely flashy game. It was solid. Didn't turn the ball over, move the ball, put points on the board. I got to give a lot of credit to Doug Peterson for putting him in a position to succeed and being able to utilize the players around him to help him out. And like you said, the defense is probably a little bit better than expected. Jim Schwartz has done something. Again, it is the Browns the Browns and the Bears. Probably not the best teams, but they've looked better than those teams. So as far as those comparisons, then they could definitely get to 7, maybe 8 wins.
Yeah, and I think a lot of credit for that defense has to go to the offense as well, because they're controlling time of possession, not something that the Eagles fans have seen the last couple of years. They're all about moving the ball and keeping the ball and not letting their defense down the field a lot, which I think is allowing those guys that are playmakers on the defense to have energy and make plays out there. So, a lot of credit goes to Doug Peterson, and they're going to play a real team this week. Pittsburgh is coming to town, so here it is. We'll see
a
lot of things. Yeah, we'll find out a lot of things from this team on Sunday.
Yeah, probably not the best secondary in Pittsburgh still, but definitely more of a pass rush. So probably definitely gonna get to see what he looks like.
Yeah, and speaking of pass rush, Eagles need to improve that offensive line. Carson Wentz took some shots last night. He's a big guy. He got up quickly from him, but you don't want to see that. He already had his ribs fractured in the preseason, so got to protect him. And he's also got to protect himself. There's one time where he's running down the sideline and spun back in bounds and got laid out by a defensive back. He should have just ran out of bounds there. Not something you want to see. It's good. I'm sure the guys in the locker room love him. And don't do that.
Yeah, no, definitely a kind of one of those rookie things that you'll learn. Probably heard all about it this morning, or will hear about it when they go over that film. But definitely something he'll learn. It's one of those, when to slide, when to keep going things. But if he can keep improving, then he's got a lot of good things ahead of him.
Yeah, most definitely. So, and his alma mater actually went ahead and beat another Power 5 conference team.
That's right. That was actually, I got to see that the end of that game. That was pretty crazy. Once North Dakota got that ball back, North Dakota State got that ball back, you just kind of had a feeling they were going to score.
Wow. I didn't get to watch any of that game, but
they got the ball back after a punt, and you could just tell Iowa was trying to run out the clock, like we were talking about earlier, just trying to run out the clock and just a couple run plays and then tried to pass on third down, but it just didn't work. Ended up having to punt, And then North Dakota State comes out very first play, like spread them out wide. There's four or five wide, and then just QB draw for like 20 yards, and you're just like, yep, they're going to score.
All right, well.
Going to win this game.
and they did. They did. So, I think that's
good weekend for Connor Wentz.
Connor?
Yeah, Carson.
All right. Let's go to the end of the show here. You got a hot tweet this week?
Yeah. I know everyone missed Brady Manning, but I feel like this is one of those classic Brissett Tannehill games we'll always remember. Of course, referencing Jimmy Garoppolo getting hurt against the Dolphins and, you know, those classic Brissett Tannehill wars.
Yeah, Jacoby Brissett. And kind of have to wonder how confident the Patriots are in playing him, because they're really apparently trying to push for Jimmy Garoppolo to play on Thursday. And if he does, that would be remarkable.
I think what they're wanting is to not have to sign somebody for whatever reason. And I think that, yeah, they're just going to have him be the backup, quote unquote. But I don't know. I just don't see how you can't just be like, hey, Ryan Mallett, come play for a week. Come sit on the bench for a week. They really just have to get through the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
They've got two wins. Yeah, they've got two wins. That's really all they really probably, you know, were hoping for, at least. So, yeah, I'd say you take those, whatever happens these next two, whatever. Just, you know, buying time till Tom gets back.
Yep, pretty much. So, I also think it works in their advantage to have Garoppolo play again, because now you have a game and a half of him playing excellent, and now some team's going to be like, give him a first-round pick for him.
Yeah, no, definitely. Probably don't want to throw him back out there hurt if it's really going to affect him playing. Then that could definitely diminish his value. But then again, Jacoby Brissett could look really good, and then you've got three quarterbacks that everybody wants.
Well, yeah. One's off limit, though.
Right, of course. But, yeah. All right. So, what, you got a hot tweet?
I do. It is Michael Irvin. This is from Barstool Sports.
Oh, my God.
Michael Irvin said if the Pats win Thursday, he's replacing Lombardi with Belichick on the Super Bowl trophy over a Thursday night game win over the Texans.
Right. And he misspelled Belichick.
Yes, he did. But I
don't know what that was all about. That was just ridiculous.
Yeah, I have no idea, but I didn't realize
Jerry Jones let him keep those Super Bowl trophies.
Oh man,
because I'm pretty sure he didn't.
No, not at all. So I'm gonna go win the Belichick trophy this year. No, that sounds
right,
awful.
Well, if we're being honest, the award should probably be renamed the Belichick Trophy.
I mean, yeah, it probably should, but
now you can, on, that you that might be a hot take, but it really shouldn't be.
say that after he wins his next Super Bowl, not before a Thursday night game, a week three against the Houston Texans.
Because, but seriously, if and or when they do win another Super Bowl, they should probably just rename it.
I mean,
Lombardi only won two of them. I mean, if we're being real,
he can't be winning his own trophies.
Yeah, I guess that'd be kind of lame. But all right, okay. So I guess we got picks. Let's do these. Number 11, Wisconsin at number 8, Michigan State. Who you got?
I'm going to roll Sparty here. Wisconsin hasn't really impressed me. They did have the win over LSU. I'm not sold on how good LSU is. And Michigan State has played really well. Got a big-time win over Notre Dame last weekend. So, give me Sparty. Plus, they're at home.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to go with Michigan State also. Like you said, they looked really good against Notre Dame. And Wisconsin almost lost to Georgia State. So, yeah, moving on. number 19, Florida at number 14, Tennessee.
All right. Well, I kind of had to change it up here. I know I talked about a couple weeks ago how Florida could be the team to beat in the SEC East and could be representing them in the SEC Championship game. But their starting quarterback, Del Rio, is hurt and won't play in this game. It scares me. Tennessee seems to play teams that they seem to play to teams' levels, and I think they're going to pull this one out in Knoxville.
All right, I'm still going to go Florida. Tennessee hasn't really done too much to impress me. So, yeah, I'm going to take, I guess, the upset surprise.
All right.
Okay, and then next up we have number 17, Arkansas, at number 10, Texas A&M.
All right, I'm going to roll. I'm going to have to go Razorbacks here. I don't really know why, other than I don't want the Aggies to keep winning.
All right. I am going to pick the Aggies. I think that, yeah, they're going to just kind of keep it like they've been doing it, just do enough to win and look all right. So, yeah. Lastly, we have an NFL game just to throw in there. Vikings and Panthers. Who you got there?
Yeah, Vikings defense looked really good. They're going to have a really good test against Cam Newton here. And two huge receivers who have already made their presence felt, Devin Funchess and Kelvin Benjamin, and also Greg Olsen. I think Vikings are going to have a hard time matching up with those guys. Aaron Rodgers really picked on Trey Waynes last week and, for the most part, had a lot of success until that last drive. But I expect a lot more of that this week, and I think the Panthers are going to win it.
Yeah, I really feel like the Panthers got their offense going. And that's basically what allowed them to do what they did last year, is to just kind of outscore people. There's still, maybe some questions on the defensive side, but as far as, getting back to form. But I'm gonna have to say the Panthers are just too much.
Yeah, and how bad is the Rams' offense not being able to score 1 point against the 49ers defense, a Chip Kelly defense, and then the Panthers come out and score 46?
Yeah.
So, you got an upset?
I do. I'm going to call it the Jags over the Ravens. I feel like Jacksonville has looked very Jacksonville-like, but I think the Ravens are playing a little bit better than they are, and Jags really probably need this win if they want any semblance of saving their season that they're supposed to have, this, possible sleeper playoff team, but they look anything like anything but in these first 2 weeks.
Bortles has to stop making untimely interceptions. I like the upset. I rolled with Oklahoma State over Baylor this weekend. Cowboys 2-1 should probably be undefeated, but I think that they win this over Baylor. Baylor hasn't jumped off the page to me, I guess, over the first couple weeks.
All right. Got a hot take?
Yeah, my hot takes is Carson Wentz goes 3 weeks without a turnover.
Ooh, all right. I am going to have to say that the Patriots are going to win on Thursday. But I'm not going to bet renaming any trophy on it. But I'm, it's also